we're going to do Trains Off on a Train. Today we're going to be talking about why is Britain voting to get rid of breakfast, and what are the ramifications for all of us if it does. But first, writer mail. This writer mail is from the 415 area code, and it says, while writing on Bart was great, love hot dogs experiments. Indeed, this time, let's experiment with singing. While you're doing that, I'm gonna, while you're experimenting with singing, I'm gonna read the next writer mail. This writer mail is from the 425 area code. And this writer writes, get out, this writer mail was coming from inside the train. Wow, you should come sit next to me and be a guest on this episode of Train Hot Dog and talk to me about breakfast. And this writer mail is from the 832 area code. This writer writes, hey Joe, this is Matt, not from the seat post, so from Space City in Texas. I wanted to ask you about some mental memories your system, yo, having a link between. You can go ahead and ask me about the mental memories. I'll get to them the next time I do writer mail, I guess. So thanks for writing in, everybody. Thanks for this week's writer mail. So let's see what we can find out about this important story. Why is Britain getting rid of breakfast?
And I passed here with the bicycle you just boarded. At the next station, you'll need to step off the train and move back to the second car. Bike's not allowed.
Good morning, Britain. Viewers, Slate new ITV breakfast show. Research, traditional full English breakfast. The full English breakfast is a centuries-old British breakfast tradition dating one subsequently adopted throughout Great Britain. The full English breakfast, that's EnglishBreakfastSociety.com. I bet they have some serious opinions about this stuff. The centuries-old tradition, British breakfast, it's a breakfast tradition. To eat well in England, you should have breakfast three times a day. William Somerset Maugham, who died in 1965. I'm assuming the W stands for William, actually. It could be any W. It could be Wilco. It could be Wacom, Somerset, Maugham. The full English breakfast is a centuries-old British breakfast tradition dating back to the early 1300s. To this day, the English breakfast is hugely popular, and you can usually find an English breakfast wherever you find British people. We like to take the tradition with us wherever we go. The English breakfast began with the gentry and evolved with the Victorians, who refined the tradition and standardized the ingredients to create a truly national dish. One that is hugely popular to this day and regularly enjoyed by millions of English breakfast lovers from all over the world. The splendid breakfasts of the English gentry. The idea of English breakfast as a national dish stretches back to the 13th century in an English institution called the gentry, who considered themselves to be the guardians of the traditional English country lifestyle, and who saw themselves as the cultural heirs of the Anglo-Saxons. The story of the British breakfast begins in the country houses of the English gentry with their notion of what constituted a proper Anglo-Saxon breakfast and their traditional social hospitality. The gentry were considered to be a distinct social class made up of high-born and people of noble and distinguished blood, landowners, and genteel families of long descent, as well as senior members of the clergy and relatives of titled families with no title of their own. The gentry saw it as their duty to keep alive the traditional practices, values, cuisine, and traditional English country lifestyle. The great country houses of England, owned by members of the gentry. Okay, so this is like talking about how awesome the tradition of the English breakfast is without ever saying what the English breakfast actually is. So this is like the worst English breakfast society. Traditions surrounding the English breakfast. That's what I was just reading. Black pudding. Learn about black pudding and the religious controversy surrounding it. So here's a picture of an enormous black boar. So I guess that boar's name is pudding. Learn more about English Breakfast Society, our fellows in our work. Back bacon. History of bacon. British sausage. What is the English breakfast? They just don't want you to know. They want you to know as little as you. So, learn more.
Dublin, Plunkett, Dublin, Plunkett, Trent.
Here's an English breakfast recipe. God, there's like 12 paragraphs and it hasn't even started listing ingredients yet. They don't have an ingredients list anywhere. In this recipe, we're going to stick to the cultural norm and say that the standard ingredients are British back bacon, British pork sausage, black pudding, baked beans, eggs, tomato, and mushrooms. Now we know. I had to, like, spend 6 minutes, like, looking around, like, on this site dedicated to the English breakfast to figure out what the actual breakfast, English breakfast is. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Have we always eaten them? Dizzy signals, getting rid of dizziness. Getting rid of opium. Earwig fact and control, how to get rid of and kill earwigs. When and why did Britain get rid of slavery? Yahoo Answers. That's good. That's probably relevant to our discussion. The British introduced slavery into most of the Americas. There were many Christians in America and in the UK opposed to slavery. Slavery was outlawed in Rhode Island. Before it became America, it was outlawed in the north of the U.S. because before it was in the U.K., the American Book of Uncle Tom's Cabin, which is an anti-slavery book, was a big seller in the U.K. As an aside, Brits love to think they started the anti-slavery movement, but not true. But they had no problem supplying the South during our Civil War. Little no event at the end of our Civil War, the U.S. demanded compensation and an apology from the Brits, as many felt they prolonged the war by will over 2 years. They got both Google British sell ironclad ships sold to the Confederacy. You there, Wikipedia, is the British. So, like, apparently, like, Ray here, 3 years ago, apparently he, like, entered. He posted this on Yahoo Answers via Google Voice. How many years did it take to get rid of racism and or slavery? If the South won, how much longer after the war would they have gotten rid of slavery? Should Britain may be made to say sorry for actions of others 200 years ago? Was slavery ever really abolished? Do you think the Homo attack was a hoax? Clicking on that. 3 days ago. Yes, W. Bush was behind the Crusaders' warfare. That's Jan. Charles, one day ago. They failed to tell you he had problems with his sexuality, so his religious leader told him, if you kill infidels, you are forgiven. Go to heaven and this conflict will be over. So, like so many, to secure his heavenly reward, he killed those people. Okay, I need to get out of this page. Because there's so much good stuff here, and I can't do it. Britain. breakfast. British left waffles on Falkland Islands. Breakfast Club. Bill Turnbull is to leave BBC Breakfast. Explaining Brexit, Britain's vote on the European Union. Bill Turnbull is to leave BBC Breakfast. Good Morning Britain. Can Susanna Reid save Breakfast TV? BBC Breakfast. Susanna Reid leaves BBC Breakfast. Britain's biggest breakfasts. Cancer Research UK. Breakfast TV. Breakfast television or morning show. Okay, breakfast television, Australia, Ireland, New Zealand, United Kingdom. Morning show, Canada and the United States, is a type of infotainment television program. Broadcast live in the morning, typically scheduled between 6 and 10 a.m. or as a local program, early 4 a.m. Yeah, I remember watching this stuff because I'd been up all night. The Today Show with Katie Couric. Voting on breakfast. Vote for breakfast, Whole Foods Markets. Vote now, best breakfast brunch bagels. Vote for best breakfast in the New Hampshire area. Keep the current flag. Vote for Bernie. Vote for best breakfast in the Boston area. Loused to vote on breakfast program, school police. There's very little information on this. I don't know how people make their voting decisions. Maybe you have to have a UK IP address for the real results to show up. Why did Britain leave breakfast? The Economist explains why and how Britain might leave the ellipsis. Breakfast television. No Republic, Australians for constitutional monarchy. End of Roman rule in Britain. Sure, okay. Maybe this talks about Roman breakfast. The end of Roman rule in Britain was the transition from Roman Britain to post-Roman Britain. Roman rule ended in different parts of Britain at different times and under different circumstances. In 383, the usurper Magnus Maximus withdrew troops from northern and western Britain, probably leaving local warlords in charge. Around 410, the Romano-British expelled the magistrates of the usurper, Constantine III, ostensibly in response to his failures to use the Roman garrison he had stripped from Britain to protect the island. Roman Emperor Honorius replied to a request for assistance with the rescript of Honorius, telling the Roman city to see to their own defense, a tacit acceptance of temporary British self-government. Honorius was fighting a large-scale war in Italy against the Visigoths under their leader Alaric, with Rome itself under siege. No forces could be spared to protect distant Britain, though it is likely that Honorius expected to regain control over his province as soon. By the mid-500s, Procopius recognized that Britannia was entirely lost to the Romans. There are various interpretations that characterize the events in a way which supports a particular thesis without taking issue with the basic chronology. The historian Theodore Mommsen said that it was not Britain that gave up Rome, but Rome that gave up Britain, arguing that Roman needs and priorities lay elsewhere. This position has retained scholarly support over the passage of time. Michael Jones took the opposite view, saying that it was Britain that left Rome, arguing that numerous usurpers based in Britain, combined with poor administration, caused the Romano-Britons to revolt.
girl who worked in the kitchen.
The thing about breakfast here.
She probably didn't think you were
handsome. Magnus Maximus, what did he have for breakfast? He ruled from
383 to 384.
Sorry, I'm just looking for something interesting here. Oh, here's a coin with his face on it. He looks like he was drawn in, like, the ancient Roman style. Welsh legend. Legendary versions of Maximus's career in which he marries the Welsh princess Ellen may have circulated in popular tradition in Welsh-speaking areas from an early date. Although the story of Helen and Maximus's meeting is almost certainly fictional, there is some evidence for the basic claims. He is certainly given a prominent place in the earliest version of the Welsh triads. I'm clicking on that. The Welsh triads are a group of related texts in medieval manuscripts which preserve fragments of Welsh folklore, mythology, and traditional history in groups of three. The triad is a rhetorical form whereby objects are grouped together in threes with a heading indicating the point of likeness. For example, three things not easily restrained: the flow of torrent, the flight of an arrow, and the tongue of a fool. The texts include references to King Arthur and other semi-historical characters from sub-Roman Britain. King Arthur. What was the origin of that thing? Arthur Pendragon. A legendary British leader, yada yada yada. Debated historicity. Historicity of King Arthur. The historical basis for King Arthur is a source of considerable debate among historians due to the poverty of British records in the period 450 to 550. Historian Thomas Charles Edwards noted that at this stage of the inquiry, one can only say that there may well have been a historical Arthur, but historian can yet say nothing of value about him. Historian David Dumville summed up his position by saying, "I think we can dispose of him quite briefly. He owes his place in our history books to a no-smoke-without-fire school of thought. The fact of the matter is that there is no historical evidence about Arthur. We must reject him from our histories and, above all, from the titles of our books." Some have suggested that Arthur was a mythological or folklore figure, that other mythological figures may have become historicized, also may have become historicized. One suggestion is that Hengist and Horsa were originally Kentish totemic horse gods, ascribed by historical role by Saint Bede. There is, however, no more early trace of this fictional Arthur than there is of a historical one. The etymology of the Welsh name Arthur is uncertain, though most scholars favor either a derivation of the Roman gens name Artorius or a naive Britonic compound based of the root Arto Bear, which became Arth in medieval and modern Welsh. Similar bear names appear throughout the Celtic-speaking world. Debated historicity. So, like, who made this shit up? Decline, revival of the modern legend. The end of the Middle Ages brought with it a waning of interest in King Arthur. Although Malory's English version of the great French romance is popular, there were increasing attacks on the truthfulness of the historical framework of the Arthurian romances established since Geoffrey of Monmouth's time, thus the legitimacy of the whole matter of Britain. The Matter of Britain is a body of medieval literature. I just lost it after this thing loaded. It's a body of medieval literature and legendary material associated with Great Britain and sometimes Brittany, and the legendary kings and heroes associated with it, particularly King Arthur. It was one of the three great literary cycles recalled repeatedly in medieval literature, together with the Matter of France, which concerned the legend of Charlemagne, and the Matter of Rome, which included material derived from or inspired by classical mythology. The three matters were first described in the 12th century by French poet Jean Baudel, whose epic Chanson, however you pronounce that, contains the line, something in French, "There are but three matters that no man should be without, that of France, of Britain, and of Great Rome." The name distinguishes and relates the matter of Britain from the mythological themes taken from classical antiquity, the matter of Rome, and the tales of the paladins of Charlemagne and their wars with the Moors and the Saracens, which constituted the matter of France. Arthur is the chief subject of the matter of Britain, although other lesser-known legendary history of Great Britain and Brittany is also covered, including the stories of Brutus of Britain, King Cole, King Lear, Gog Magog, a giant. Gog Magog was a legendary giant in Welsh and later English folklore. According to Geoffrey of Monmouth's Historia something, he was a giant inhabitant of Albion, thrown off a cliff during a wrestling match with Corineus, a companion of Brutus of Troy. Gog Magog was the last of the giants found by Brutus and his men. The name Gog Magog is often connected to the biblical characters Gog and Magog. That's what? This article is about the biblical and Quranic figures. Names that appear in the Hebrew Bible, Ezekiel, the Book of Revelation. Sometimes including... How have I never heard of these Gog and Magog? Gog.com. It's time to go. Gog, Jaj, and Majaj.